In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. As you listen at home to the Word of God on this third Sunday of Easter, we begin with the singing of the opening hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness. The words for our meditation today is taken from the gospel lesson appointed for the third Sunday of Easter, St. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35, with special attention to the following verses. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and the rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, this is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." This is the word of God. We now sing the hymn of the day, "He's Risen, He's Risen."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today you challenge us again not to question or doubt Jesus' resurrection from the dead, as the two disciples did when one of them, named Cleopas, said, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Instead, to believe in Jesus as the risen Lord and Savior, as Jesus told them himself, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory?" Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the risen Lord and Savior, if I were to ask you this morning, have you ever asked yourself the same question Jesus asked? What things? Yes, what things are you talking about? I'm sure all of us have, haven't we? Yes, we have. This is especially true when we really don't know what things they are talking about. Perhaps something that has just happened in the news and which we have not yet heard about. Perhaps a sudden accident, a serious illness, the death of a friend or neighbor, or even for that matter, a very tragic disaster such as an earthquake, a flood, a tornado, or a hurricane. Whatever it is, we also ask the same question Jesus asked. What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? What things are you talking about? Because that's precisely what happened with the two disciples as they were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about all these things that had happened, the things that have happened to Jesus as he was arrested, judged, condemned, crucified, and finally left to die all alone on the cross as a common criminal. As a matter of fact, as they were talking about it, Jesus drew near and went with them. But unfortunately, they did not recognize him. Our text says that their eyes were kept from recognizing him as they both stood still, looking sad. So Jesus, pretending not to know anything about these things that have happened, asked them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, saying, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" So they told him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. And besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. As a matter of fact, even some women of our company amazed us as they went to the tomb and did not find his body. And angels had told them in a vision that he was alive. Even others who had also gone to the tomb did not find or see his body either. Yes, just like the other disciples, the women and the crowd. The two disciples also said, but we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. In other words, to set the Jewish nation free from the bondage to Rome and usher in the kingdom of God. We had hoped, and yet it didn't happen. Yes, they also had hoped that Jesus was going to become the new king of the Jews, who would take care of them and deliver them from the domination not only under Jerusalem, but especially under Rome. But that was not Jesus' purpose. On the contrary, Jesus' purpose was to rescue and save the world from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. So yes, it was indeed necessary for Christ to offer himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's precisely what Jesus told his own disciples early on during his ministry in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. So Jesus finally told them as they were walking and talking about these things that had happened, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory? Not only that, but beginning with Moses and the prophets, Jesus began to interpret from them what the scriptures had to say concerning himself. And yet, during all of this time, they still did not recognize him as they finally arrived at their destination at Emmaus. As a matter of fact, Jesus acted as though he was going to continue his journey. But the two of them urged him to stay, since it was already getting late toward evening. So Jesus decided to stay with them. And as he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and broke it and gave it to them. It was then that they finally recognized him and their eyes were opened. And as soon as they recognized him, Jesus vanished from their sight. And they began to say to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And then after having said that, they went back to Jerusalem and told the 11 and the others, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they proceeded to tell them what happened to them on the road to Emmaus with the breaking of the bread by Jesus himself. Now, what about us again? Yes, what about you and me? Are we any different? Are we any different than the two disciples? And if we're honest with ourselves again this morning, the answer is no. Sometimes our eyes are also kept from recognizing Jesus. Sometimes we also stand still, looking sad. And sometimes, just like the two of them, maybe just maybe, we also hope that Jesus would come not to redeem Israel, but to redeem the United States of America, including all the nations of the world. especially as we consider the economic trouble we are in right now due to the coronavirus. The millions of people who are suffering right now and beginning to be even more afraid, anxious, and depressed as they are asked to stay home for another several weeks. The millions of people who have lost their jobs and are now applying for unemployment. The millions of businesses that are still closed right now, especially the small businesses. The millions of people wanting to go back to work again and yet not allowed to do it because the CDC says it is still not safe and healthy. And every week that goes by, it is becoming increasingly more difficult for everyone to cope with it, as people are getting frustrated with cabin fever. But there seems to be some hope at the end of the tunnel, as the federal government has outlined a strategy to help governors of every state in our union to begin opening slowly and gradually all businesses. And hopefully, as we also begin to open our schools, colleges, and universities, begin to have social, cultural, and sporting events, as well as opening the doors of our churches so that we can gather again as God's people and worship and praise our Lord Jesus Christ, and finally partake again of the true body and true blood of Jesus in the Holy Sacrament. But in order for all of that to happen, we must, as I have stated repeatedly in my messages during the last four Sundays, we must acknowledge our need for Jesus, not only to protect us and keep us safe and healthy, but to answer our prayers in helping the scientists and the international medical community to find a medicine and a vaccine to prevent more people from getting infected, sick, and dying. And quite frankly, it is only after we have the medicine and the vaccine with God's help that we are going to be safe again. Otherwise, we are going to continue being at the mercy of this deadly virus. Yes, we just cannot stand still and looking sad like the other disciples did, but to open our eyes and recognize who Jesus is and what he can do for us to help stop this virus as we continue praying to him fervently and without ceasing as he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. The words of Jesus himself, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The words of the psalmist in the Old Testament, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." Yes, we are encouraged to call upon the name of the Lord, because he is still in control, especially in the day of trouble we find ourselves today. God is still in control and concerned, not only about us as a nation, but all the nations of the world. And he is ready to help us as we call upon him during this crisis. But at the same time, God is also concerned about our eternal life and salvation as a nation. The land of the free and the home of the brave, as well as all the nations of the world. And yet, nobody is paying any attention to it or talking about it in the news. That it is God's will that all the world be saved and come to the saving grace and knowledge of the truth about Jesus Christ. Again, the words of Jesus himself in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But the major television networks and newspapers aren't talking about the crucified Lord and risen Savior. No, they are not. All they are talking about is this virus, the number of people getting infected and are sick right now, and the number of people who have already died. Unfortunately, we live in a nation that pays only lip service to God. Even though we take great pride in saying, "In God we trust," and sing "God Bless America," and maybe, just maybe, God is trying to get our attention through this virus, and especially the attention of those who still aren't saved to the kingdom of heaven. Those who behave like the rich man in one of the parables of Jesus, who said to himself, "You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" And then Jesus said, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." That popular saying, "Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die." Sometimes it does take a devastating tragedy, similar to the one we experienced during 9/11 in New York City in 2001, to get us down on our knees again and plead with our Lord Jesus Christ to have mercy upon us and to help us and free us from this deadly virus that just won't go away. To listen and to pay attention to what is really important in life, our eternal life one day with our Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus said about himself, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many, including the 44% of Americans polled, who stated that this crisis with the coronavirus has been a wake-up call for them to turn back to faith in God, including the 22% of non-Christians polled, who stated that this crisis caused them to start reading the Bible and watching Christian sermons online, even though they usually didn't do it before. And then those who have stated that they would never ever consider going to church or darken the door of a church, but are now entering a church without walls to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The words of Jesus himself, "I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Yes, may God the Father bless us and preserve us today through his Holy Spirit on this third Sunday of Easter, as we believe that it was indeed necessary that Jesus, as the Christ, suffer these things, be condemned to death, and be crucified, not only to save us as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, but also those who are still lost and unsaved to the kingdom of heaven. The good news, not only of Christ's suffering and death on the cross, but also of his resurrection. As the two disciples rose and returned quickly to Jerusalem and told the 11 disciples and those who were gathered with them, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." May our prayer today be the words of the hymn of the day, "He's risen, he's risen, Christ Jesus the Lord. He lives, yes, he lives, and will never more die." In Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father Almighty, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us always, that even though we weren't there concerning Jesus of Nazareth and the things that have happened there, that we believe and confess that Jesus is our crucified Lord and risen Savior. Amen. On this third Sunday of Easter, as we come to the end of the readings concerning Christ's resurrection, we conclude with the singing of the closing hymn, "Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won." And after we have listened to the closing hymn, we will conclude with the Lord's Prayer and the Lord's Benediction. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.